We're going to be in the book of Acts today, Acts chapter 8 in a little bit. For right now, I just want to, this is kind of a special day. I'm excited today to kind of share some things with you. We're doing some things a little bit different than we normally do, but we're going to be starting off by looking at the book of Acts, chapter 8. But I just want you to know as we begin, I want you to know that we serve an awesome God. We serve a powerful God who is doing some remarkable things. And what I want to do is I just want to kind of step out of our normal mode. Just to kind of back up, just for one Sunday, to back up and just kind of take a look at what God is doing. But in order to do that, I want to set the stage by looking at one story in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience or not, at least not quite in the same way. I can only think of maybe one time in my whole life where I think that I somehow kind of walked down this road. But look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. It's a passage from Isaiah, which said, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. It's an interesting, remarkable activity of God who comes alongside of a person and says, "Here's where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do." And then all of a sudden he does that. And God, he just has that kind of capability. I remember it like it was yesterday. I've told you this story before, by the way, and so I'm sorry for some of you who maybe get tired of hearing it, but I want to share just a little bit about my friend Greg. There's parts of it maybe you haven't heard. Greg's first introduction to our church was during our annual rummage sale days when he sat across from our church mocking us for our activities that were going on. I learned that later. But he was just kind of mocking all the things that were going on. It was kind of interesting. If you've never had the experience, the Footville Rummage Sale Days in a town of 832 people hosted thousands of people. It truly is a sight to see. And I kid you not, the streets were so packed, it was impossible to drive through the community, to drive your car through that community all day long. It was just that packed. In fact, if we knew that we needed to get out, sometimes we would, and it's not a big town. I mean, you blink twice, you go through it, but, you know, there's a little community there. If we knew we needed to get out, we would park our car outside of the community, which was only a couple blocks away, right? We didn't live that far from the highway, but we would park it areas where we could actually get out. But, I mean, literally, you could not hardly walk through the whole community. And we saw this as a great opportunity. And that year, we booked, it's a band called Apologetics. Now, none of you have probably heard of that, but basically what Apologetics was is it was a parody band. They basically took a lot of the music, and I mean, it sounded authentic. If you didn't know, if you weren't listening to the words, you would actually think they were playing Led Zeppelin, or you would think that they were playing, you know, some of the music from the 50s all the way to the 60s, and pretty much rock and roll. But they would do some classic stuff that you might be might know a little bit about Alabama songs or something like that. But they, a parody is basically they would put different words in there for the song. And it's really kind of neat. But, you know, people thought, you know, they really set up a stage. And we kind of, we did this. The event, it was a full stage outdoor rock concert. And it was a huge, huge step for us. And it's that same year that we decided we were going to roast a pig. And we handed out a free meal. Everybody got pulled pork. And this huge meal, and everybody that came through, everybody else in the community was selling stuff. We were giving it away. Of course, there's that conversation, well, you know, are we taking away business or not? It's just jam-packed in the community, and we were giving stuff away, and people were coming by to listen to the music. You could hear it all across town. It was that loud. It was just big. And we had all of our ministries, that all of them were just simply, all they were doing, they were instructed to do was just, they weren't supposed to give anybody anything or, you know, do anything or, they just were just walking around making conversation, letting people know that, hey, we're interested in you. It was just a great way just to say, you know what, we care. And it was huge. It was loud. It was unexpected. And what Greg, in spite of what his mouth was saying, in spite of the things that he was doing, what he was really saying was, and this I learned later on too, is this church must really care about me. A couple weeks later, Greg showed up at church. It really wasn't, this is probably the part you remember. Greg had been in a fishing tournament the night before, and he was still very, 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 very much hungover. He smelled like it. He looked like it. Bib overalls, bedhead. The guy was just filthy. He smelled not only like fish, but he smelled like a brewery. And he was on his way to the store to pick soda when he drove by our church, saw the sign, decided to stop in, and I can remember thinking, oh, man, what is this kid doing here? Oh, man, and, you know, who is this? And all the time wondering if this guy is going to cause some sort of a disturbance. But something in my soul just kept tugging at me to just go over and talk to him and to start this conversation with him. And it's probably one of the only few times that in my life that I have ever obeyed God instantaneously like that. But I started to talk with Greg, and he seemed to be a little uncomfortable. He also kind of like walking into the front stage, you know, walking open up in a door and you realize you're on stage, you know, kind of thing. He seemed uncomfortable, wasn't sure that he was going to stay, but I invited him to stay anyway, and so he did. That afternoon, Susan and I were going fishing. We had the boat behind. It was a Sunday afternoon. We were going to take off and go fishing. And I stopped by his house real quick just to say hi and invite him to go fishing someday. And just to kind of, you know, thank him for coming to church and so on. And from that point on, we began a long friendship that continues to this day. I've talked with him about 3 times this last week. He's out in North Dakota now. But Greg never missed a Sunday after that. In fact, he started attending our men's group. He started attending a Sunday school regularly and went on several outings with the church, not to mention several fishing trips that him and I took together. About 2 months later, Greg showed up at my door about 6:30 in the morning, actually got me out of bed. I usually get up earlier, but I don't remember. It was my day off, and I decided to sleep in a little bit. 6:30, 7 o'clock, just knocking on the door. I'm hearing this rap, and it just kind of shakes me out of my slumber, and I walk over to the door, and it's Greg, and he just seems so distraught. He was just bumming out, and he just says, I've been attending here. I just wish I knew enough. I just wish I could just have Jesus right now. I wish I could. I said, Greg, you can. You can. You can. And at that moment, he asked Jesus to be Lord of his life. And less than an hour later, I had the privilege of baptizing him into Christ. It's just a remarkable thing when God gets involved. But here's what I want you to hear this morning. What I want you to hear is that I think that God is involved in this place at New Life Christian Church. I think he is involved. And I want you to see and to hear some of the ways that God has been involved this year. But first, I want you to take a look at this video here.